Well, good morning, Grace. I know I've already been up a little bit, but I want to say welcome, Youth Sunday, and I'm Youth Pastor Adam, so I get to speak it to you again. And I want to say thank you for letting me do that. I appreciate that, like Dean said, that we are able to have a church body that includes the students in the church. They aren't just over there in their building across the street, which I was at a church like that, but that they're actually able to be a part of it and worship God and lead adults in worshiping God, and that you let me come up here and share the word of the Lord. So if you have a Bible today, we are going to be continuing on in our series in Acts. If you do not have one, oh, students get to go, little kids. Miss Christy is out there and waiting for you. We need a buzzer back there that she could just, and that would let us know. The ushers are going to pass out a Bible. If you don't have one this morning, you are welcome to use one of those. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to keep that, you can consider that our gift this morning as well. So we are continuing in Acts, and today we aren't going to be making a large strides in like distance through the story of Acts. We're not going to get quite as far in the distance sense, but we are going to really focus in on one aspect, one specific person, actually, and some qualities of this guy and what he is about. In fact, it's such a significant part of who he is. It is who he becomes, his name. It's what he is known for, and it becomes the name that he is called. So we are going to be, we first hear about this guy in chapter 4, verse 36, and in there he is the good example that's contrasted with the bad example of Ananias and Sapphira, who bring an offering, but they lie about how much they're bringing. And in that way, they just dishonor God and what it is that they're doing through that lie. But this guy, he sold property, he brought the whole thing, and it was not the amounts that they brought that was the problem, it was the heart that they had when they did that. And he brought his with a pure heart to honor God, and he brought that, and so he is the contrast to this example in chapter 4. Then again in chapter 9, verse 27, he steps in when everybody else is kind of afraid of Saul, who becomes Paul. This guy has persecuted Christians. He's responsible for the death of Christians. And like he would be, everybody's kind of afraid of him. That makes sense. And everybody that is except for this guy. This guy is willing to go and kind of speaks up for him in front of the other apostles and says, no, this guy's okay. And he checks out. And so that guy is named Barnabas. And originally, he goes by the name... I have it. It's in my notes. Joseph. He goes by Joseph, but then as his character becomes more and more of a prominent thing, he begins to be called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, or it's son of exhortation. You might see it that way, which exhortation is kind of encouragement, but it's a little bit more involved, and it's kind of has more of a larger in-depth, long-term, sort of an edge to it, if you will. Now, if you remember, the passage today, let me start with this, begins with reminding us how after the death of Stephen, which we read about recently, the believers scattered, of course. So Stephen gets martyred for his faith, and so the rest of the believers that are there, they get scared, of course, and they scatter around, which really is part of God's plan for the growing of his church, but they get scattered. And they went to all these different places as they scattered around, and they would go to the Jews, the other Jewish people, like the people who were like them, and that's where they went, and that's where they spent most of their time, was speaking to them. But there was a few of them that scattered that began to speak to the Greeks. And that's when the movement of Jesus actually began with the Greeks in that area where they were speaking to them. And like when I spoke last time, I spoke about the eunuch, and before that, how Peter and John had to go to confirm the movement of the Spirit. Like, they heard about in Samaria, the Samaritans had experienced God, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. And they sent, because they weren't sure, oh, is this some sort of cult that's going on? Is this a sect that's starting up? And so they send some of the apostles to check it out. And that's the same thing that's going to happen here, that instead of Peter and John getting sent, this time it's Barnabas gets sent to Antioch to find out if what is going on is authentic and if it's real, if it's actually from God or not. So if you'll read with me in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, you can either in your own Bible or up on the screen there. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. See, Barnabas had already shown this ability where he was a rare bird for the Jewish people, because he looked past people's nationality and who they were. He was able to see them and what God was doing for them. And he had already shown that he had an acceptance for people and a trust in God when he went to Saul and wasn't afraid that he was going to get killed by him and spoke up for him. So when he arrives, verse 23, when he arrives, he saw that the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. It's interesting because that is the same description that is given to Stephen when he gets martyred. They say that same thing about him. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, and that's Saul that becomes Paul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted a severe famine would spread out over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Paul and Saul. So Barnabas was the embodiment of encouragement. He would come in, he'd encourage, he would exhort, he would train, he would build up, and he would strengthen others. And it's significant enough that he no longer is called by his given name. He is now referred to as Son of Encouragement. And that becomes the name and what he is known for. And if that is a significant enough thing that this guy has his name changed to that, we have to look at that and say, okay, maybe there's a lesson for us in that. There's a reason his name was changed that. It's also an attribute of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come in and would encourage the believers and strengthen the believers. And so we see in Barnabas the working of the spiritual gift of encouragement. And so I want to look at that today. I want to look at what made him that, and how is it that we can learn from that and become like Barnabas ourselves. First, I want to look at what the scripture just says about encouragement. There's a lot, and I just have a few of them, or a few verses that I liked. So Romans 12, this is 6 through 8, encouragement is a spiritual gift. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. So right away in Romans, we have it as a spiritual gift that some people have. But like all the spiritual gifts, we may not have that as our exact gifting, but we can take part in it. We all have the Spirit, so that is part of our nature, of who we should be as believers, is encouragers. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. it's our salvation that we are with Christ, and out of that comes encouragement and building up of other people. Again, it is kind of a fundamental aspect of our faith that we come alongside and we encourage and we build up. And it's because of that salvation that we have. So Titus 1:9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that we can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. We're going to talk about that one more in a minute. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily. I love that part. Just encourage each other daily. It's daily. Like, that's the emphasis on that. It is part of our routine living, really almost a spiritual discipline of ourselves, that we should be living together in such a way that we are encouraging each other with our words and with our actions. And the last one I have right here is Romans 15:5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. So he is the God of encouragement. He gives it. It is part of who he is, and us in the image of God with the Holy Spirit in us should also have that spirit of encouragement. It really is. It's that element that when somebody has spent time with you, they walk away knowing God more. I'm gonna speak about somebody for a second. I don't know if you guys have spent time with Buzz. I got to, and I need to again, and he's a man like this. When you spend time with him, you walk away blessed and encouraged and stronger in your faith. And I, like I said, it was that one time, and we need to get together again, and I want to say thank you for that, because it's such an example of that's what I want to be, that when people are around me, that they walk away like that. It's so neat when you get to meet people in the congregation that embody these characters that you read about in the Bible, and it's like you see that in the people that you actually are doing life with in the church. So that's just a few of the verses in the scriptures that talk about encouragement. And there's a lot more that some use the specific word, you know, encourage or encouragement. Some use the word exhort. There's even more of those. And then the ones that just talk about the concept of coming together to encourage each other in our faith. And it is all over in our scriptures. It's everywhere. And that's something that we need to take notice of. And how do we become encouragers like this guy, Barnabas? So first, why is it such a big part of our faith? At the fall, when Adam and Eve, they get cursed, and we get told, you know, your life's going to be hard. It's embodied in that. Your life is hard. Raising kids, that's going to be hard. Yes. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to work for your food. And, you know, for the job, and then at the end, you know, you die. And we just get set up from the beginning. Life's going to be really hard. That's part of the curse, right? It is a hard thing that we have doing this life that we are given. But that's the condition of the fallen world. And so through God, we get to experience relief from that curse, which is discouraging. And instead, we get to experience God, which is encouraging. And there are those moments that when things are rough and things are hard, we have our hope over here in God and in Christ. And instead of being discouraged by those things, we are encouraged by the hope that we have of that walk with God, that relationship with him, and the future of heaven with him as well. So we don't have to stay in that discouraging state. So with Jesus, it's a large part of our faith that things are with. When things are hard, we're encouraged. We get lifted up by the promises that God's given us. We're also called not to live separate, but together. And in a way, we get to make each other better. We get to build each other up in the knowledge and in our beliefs. It's this life-on-life idea that you're not out there doing things by yourself and struggling, but that you can bring them to the church and receive prayer and, you know, a kind word, and people can lift you up and help share those burdens that we have. And that's what we're called to do, is to live this life of encouragement that is together And I like the idea of stacking hands. You know, if you have a team, and right before the team, you know, we're going to go out and we're going to go win, we're going to go play this sport together as a team, they put your hands together and y'all stack hands and, you know, go win or whatever. I don't do sports, and so I really should probably stay away from those analogies. But that, still that idea, right, of stacking your hands, I get that, and you're doing this together as a team. You're going to go out there and accomplish something. And that's the church. The church is a team that stacks hands together to accomplish great works for the kingdom. So we're called not to live separate, but together. And there's a reason we're called the body of Christ. A body is a unit that works together. And so if we're going to be like a Barnabas, there's this part where we are encouraging each other in our lives. And I see this being done in two different ways, kind of like two tines on a fork, that they work together for the same purpose, but there's these kind of different aspects to it. And one is kind of a beginning level, and then as you go on in that, it gets deeper. And the first one, we're actually going to talk about that deeper growth. And when we encourage each other in our growth, in our development of faith, okay, it's kind of like when you encourage growth of a plant. So I know apple trees. See, I should go with apple trees in those kind of illustrations more than sports. So like an apple tree, right? An apple tree, when it starts to, well, first you got to prune it down, right? When the branches are growing, you prune it because when you prune it, it has healthier growth. Then when it starts to blossom and you start to get those three, usually it's like three little apples, and you pluck off the two smaller ones so that bigger one can actually grow and become even bigger. And that's what we're talking about with this encouragement, is you are encouraging that one apple to grow bigger by the other things that you do to cause it to grow. And that's that kind of thing that in our church body, we encourage growth, just like we would with this apple. And that's what we're talking about at that level. And what Barnabas did, part of that is he went in to these new believers and he began to teach them and help them grow and probably, you know, pared away or cut away some of the growth that wasn't needed and helped them become mature, and he helped to strengthen them. It's this idea of building each other up through encouragement, and it's gaining knowledge and understanding of sound doctrine. Barnabas, you know, first he sponsored Paul with the other apostles. Then as he works with this new church in Antioch, he gives this, you know, he's helping them grow, but then he goes and he gets Paul. Paul's in another city, and he goes and gets him and says, I need help over here. He had already been there for a few years, and he goes and he gets Paul, and he brings him back, and then they do this work together. And I love how Barnabas is doing there's two things of encouragement in this. Barnabas is encouraging Paul in his growth and his development as a younger believer in Christ. And then he is also encouraging the church as a whole, this new church plant in Antioch, and they are growing as well. And I love it that he recognizes, I can't do it alone. He's humble enough to do that, and he knows that Paul's got some gifts, and so he goes and he gets Paul and he brings him back so that they can work alongside each other. And if you're a Barnabas, how do we encourage each other in the growing of our faith? When you get together, what are you doing? Meaning, when you get together, are you checking in with each other? Are you asking how each other is doing spiritually when you see people throughout the week? You know, what has God been teaching you this week? I confess, sometimes it's quicker for me to say, did you watch, you know, a new episode on TV? Did you watch Loki? It's pretty good. I did watch it. But it's like that. It's okay to talk about those things, but at the same time, are you saying, but how's your walk with God? You know, what have you been reading about? What has God been teaching you? And are we encouraging each other in our faith, not just in our television watching, but in other things as well, other aspects of faith? I'm going to share with you let me say that differently. You can ask each other, what has God shown you this week? What has he shared with you? Are you in a Bible study? And I encourage you, if you're not, or at least meeting with some other believers at some point to study the word together, you're missing out. That's an important part of our faith walk, that we are encouraging each other in the study of the word, and we can do that together. And I know at Grace we have a lot of different opportunities. And if we don't have one that works for you, start one. Grab some other people and start another Bible study. You can always use more, I think. But it's valuable to be in relationship and to encourage our growth together. And I'm going to challenge you a little bit more with this. Are you discipling anybody? And is there anybody that you are really, stacking hands with or doing life together more on a one-on-one, like Barnabas did with Paul? Are you sharing your life and encouraging that person, usually someone younger, in their faith? We have several young people up here today. Some have graduated, but a lot of them are not going away. They are still around in the neighborhood. And then we've got these young guys that came up too. Young guys, probably about like that. I was much too short. So we've got some of these young guys also. And it's wonderful they come to youth group, and there's a lot of environment and this group growth that we do. But there's so much benefit in that one-on-one relationship that you can have as well with these young people. So I encourage you, if you want to meet some young people and perhaps do that, you can talk to me, and I'll introduce you. So there's that part of it. There's also, to you young people, you guys, I'm going to speak to you for a minute. You young people, this is a big time in your life as you are moving on to this next step. It is easy to lose your connection with church, with this body, not just this body, with the body of Christ and the encouragement that comes from it, that growing faith. Most of your peers that go to church will stop going to church. It comes down to when they don't have that person there, mom and dad, or saying, wake up, it's time for church, or if you don't have a youth group that has friends and they're saying, make sure you're coming to Bible study this week or checking in with you. It gets real easy to sleep in, and it gets real easy to, I don't really want to go do that. So don't, don't become just another statistic that stops going to church. You can wake yourself up, set that alarm, get a buddy that can encourage each other to get here, to get to wherever you're at. But don't stop going to church just because you've gotten out of high school and you maybe don't have that accountability that you once did. That's an encouragement, not just for them, it is for all of us. At home, especially at home, coming back again. I know it's easy to stay home and maybe skip church, but the fellowship, the encouragement of being together is an important part of our faith. So I encourage you, if you're at home, start coming. start fellowshipping with us. It's an important part of this faith of encouraging one another. Barnabas, saw what was best in people. He wasn't worried about, those Greeks. He wasn't scared of that. He went there and he checked on them and found out, wow, this is exciting. He wasn't scared of Paul. He didn't think the worst of this guy that had a bad reputation. He was willing to check in, find out who he was, and then stick up for him or speak for him. Now, that's the one side, that deeper level of encouraging each other and encouraging our growth in our faith. But then this smaller thing, this smaller level that I want to talk about. If you look up the word encouragement, there are these two sides of it, and it's the act to stimulate the development of an activity, state, or belief. So it's developing belief. And that's what I talked about a second ago, but I think there's this other part. And when Barnabas spent time with the church in Antioch or with Paul, that's what he was doing. He was spending time, investing time in developing their faith in that relationship of instruction and mentoring and encouraging them. But the other part of it, it's giving someone support, confidence, or hope. That's that encouraging word that you might say to somebody. Like, hey, that was really neat that you did that, or thank you for doing that. Those little things that we can do in passing, and those little things is where the bigger things start, if that makes sense. When you first, see somebody and you might say, hey, like Tommy, you play piano really well. That was beautiful this morning. And it starts with that, right? Just a compliment. And he did. That wasn't just for the sermon. He really does play. He plays really nice. And that begins that encouragement in that relationship, right? And then as I get to know Tommy more, then we develop more of a relationship where I can say, hey, Tommy, what have you been learning about this week? What have you been studying in your Bible this week? Don't tell me right now. Tommy would. That's why I have to say that. But you ask, you know, and that's that encouragement part, right, where you start living your faith. But I've earned the right to speak into his life and to ask those questions. And it starts with just being kind and those encouraging words, like, how's God treating you this week? And, you know, this, just the little things that we can do with them, with people. So that's the other part of it, is that. And we're going to look at four things real quick. And try to go quick. So we encourage people with our words. We encourage people with our actions. We encourage people with our prayers. And then with our presence. I can see Barnabas, and picture this, if you will, in your mind. Barnabas arriving in Antioch, and he's so glad to see these new believers. And I imagine him going up to them, saying words like, good job. Oh, that's great. Well done. I love what you're doing over there. And then he starts telling, you know, you're living the way Jesus would want you to live. You guys are getting it right. And then I see him, so that's his words, and then I see him in his actions, right? He loves them in his actions. He lives with them. He's spending time with them. I'm sure he's helping them in their daily lives. But then he goes and he gets Paul. He realizes, wow, I can do even more if I go get this other guy. And so in his actions, he does something that furthers their growth, that encouragement. So he does that. And then we don't actually see that he prays, but don't tell me they weren't praying. They're starting this whole new thing with these new people, and they don't know what they're doing. And you better believe they were relying on prayer and asking God to bless what they're doing and to help what they're doing. And then the presence, you know, it says that it looks like he was there for probably about 4 years total. It says that he goes and he gets Paul and he brings Paul back and they're there for a year. But before that, he'd been there for about 3 years. So it's like a total of about 4 years. He invested time in these people. He didn't just say, hey, good job, guys, and take off back to Jerusalem. He spent time there working with them. And his presence, actually being there with them and helping them to grow. So what about us? How does this apply to us directly? And I want to get down to brass tacks and really make this something that you can walk out today and do some of these things. The world's negative. I don't know if you've noticed lately. It's kind of nasty sometimes. People are really quick to judge and condemn and say just nasty things, but they're so slow with the positive. Proverbs 15:1, it says, a soft word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, words matter. That's the point of that. You know, words really matter, the things that you say. And a way a church body can set themselves apart from the rest of the world is be a place where you are quick to say, good job. Thank you for your hard work. Well done. We're better because you did that or because you're here. And be really slow with the what were you thinking or that was terrible or why bother? You know, those kind of statements. We don't even need those, really. So this is a few years ago. My daughter is quiet. My oldest daughter is quiet. She's not shy. I learned a difference because of her. Being quiet is not the same as being shy, and she's not shy. But I noticed what she would do is she would compliment people. Just out of the blue almost, and out, we're out like getting some fast food or something, and she'll be like, tell the girl taking the order or whatever, she'll be like, oh, I really like your nails, because the girl would have her fingernails done, or I really like your hair, or I really like your shirt. And it was like I said, she's quiet, so I was like, took notice of that, and I'm like, Ivy, what are you doing? Or not, I didn't say it that way. I was like, Ivy, what is that? What's going on there? Why are you being nice to people? Knock it off. But I asked her about that. You know, like, oh, what are you doing there? Why are you doing that? And she says, you know, her friend Maddie. Maddie's not quiet. Maddie's the opposite. And so that's not surprising. Maddie, she goes, oh, Maddie does it. And she goes, and I thought about it. And she goes, I like it when people give me compliments, so I should do that to other people. It's genius. It's like, oh yeah, you're right. And so like that, I try to do that. I try to be quick with my words of telling just even something superficial. You know, I like your shirt, or thank you, you know, making sure waiters wait staff knows, you know, thank you for doing such a good job with this. You know, really expressing that appreciation. And why I encourage people in that, it is with the hopes of that deeper encouragement that can come later as we develop that relationship. That's that kind of thing that we do together. And I encourage you to try it as you go out today. If you go get coffee or you go out to eat or whatever, compliment somebody. Just and see how they light up. Notice how it makes you feel. It's hard to be negative when you're telling somebody something positive. So try that. Try to do that. Try to encourage people and see how they light up. See how they are different. And see how that can start a different relationship with that person. So there's this other time. I had a youth group, and we were at this event that was a leadership training. And part of this leadership training is they had planned out kind of a relay race for your team that you brought down. You would do these different activities and kind of race towards the end. And it really wasn't something where the groups were competing, although to be honest, my group totally crushed everybody else's. But that wasn't the point of it. The point was just to get through the activity. My kids had worked together for some other stuff, and I had done some of these things with them, so it was a little more natural for them. And so we got to the end, though. It's part of the story. We got to the end, not just because we won. We got to the end. There wasn't winners, but we won. We got to the end, and these other teams were still doing it, like finishing, but they're like, ugh. And they're walking along like that towards the end. They were tired. They were, you know, the whole team was kind of spread out, and everybody, and just disheartened and discouraged. And I was like, oh, hey, guys. And I got the youth group I was with. I was like, start cheering for them. And so we all started clapping, and we all started, go, guys, go. And guess what every one of the people did? Their physical bodies, and they perked up, and they looked, oh, and they started running. I didn't expect that. They started running because they're like, oh, and that boost of encouragement to finish well, which probably reminds you of another scripture, but we should, we run the race, we finish well, and that encouragement spurs us on to that. And it was just so obvious at that moment in these kids as they, you know, just changed their world at that moment to be encouraged like that. So our words matter. That's the first one. We encourage people with our words. The second one is our actions. A lot of times, you know, we can love people, we can encourage them with our actions by giving a simple gift. I have notes, and when I say gift, I don't even mean a monetary gift necessarily. But there's all kinds of things that you can do that you can just kind of give somebody that shows that you took time to act on encouragement. So I have like some encouragement cards from people that are like 10 years old or more. That somebody wrote me a nice note, and I've hung on to that. And I worked with a guy that was a pastor that kept a discouragement file. I don't know why he did that. He never looked back at it, but he kept all those. I don't keep those. I do keep the encouragement ones, though. And I've got them like 10 years ago, and there are times you look at those and you get encouraged. Those things really matter. And I've got a bunch of notes, but I have it. I'm going to find it. There we go. I got encouraged last week because Chrissy was teaching on encouragement with the kids. So this is a beautiful picture by Cassidy. And she came from the group and she says, here, I want to give you this. And she was just super excited to give me this picture because they made pictures in that to encourage people. And she wrote on there, it says new people, because we should encourage new people when they come to church. This little kid's got a future at church. Like, she gets it. So she gave me this, and then I saw she was picking up her older sister at youth group, and she wanted to make sure that I still had this. You still got my picture? And I'm like, I got your picture. And after I share it today, I'm going to hang it on my wall forever because it's amazing, and it makes me so happy, and that encouragement. And, I mean, yeah, it's a piece of paper, but it is the thought and that action that she made that, and she gave it to me with a word of encouragement. And we can do that for each other. And you may not have the painting skills that Cassidy does, and that's okay. You don't have to be as good as her. But it's the idea of, you know, giving a little something to somebody to just say, I appreciate you, I care about you, and it encourages people. And again, that's the beginning. And what it moves into is deeper relationship of growing our faith. But it starts with those little things. I'm going to tell this story too, and I almost didn't, but I want to share it because, and it's not saying that I'm such a good person. Please don't take it this way. I actually am usually really slow to act on a lot of things. So like if there's an emergency, I'm not a good person to like, I'm not going to be the first person to jump in there. I take a second and go, what's going on? Well, maybe. And I hesitate a little bit. Like I'm not that person. Usually afterwards, it's my wife saying, why didn't you do this? And I'm like, I don't know. And I panicked. And so not just emergencies, but in any situation. So I was at Dutch Bros, which isn't uncommon, but I was at Dutch Bros getting coffee, and we're in line, and like two cars back, this younger girl pulled her car in such a way, which I don't know if you guys drive in that Ace parking lot. If you're in the Dutch Bros line, you can block people trying to get around in the parking lot. And she had done that. She blocked it, and this guy was just yelling at her. And she's this young girl, and she's obviously upset, and he's yelling at her, and it's one of those moments I almost got out, not because I wanted to fight the guy. I was actually going to tell the girl, like, hey, it's okay, just get back in your car and move over here. But it was kind of over before I could react. Remember, I'm slow to act on these things. And then we got up in line, and we got our drink, and I thought, you know, this, I can do this. I can encourage this girl behind me, who I don't know, but I... just asked that you buy the drink for the girl that's two cards back, and I gave her a $5 to do that. Because I thought, you know what, and the girl at Dutch was like, why? And I said, she's having a bad day. This guy just yelled at her. And so maybe a drink will help her have a better day. And I wanted to do that for her back there. And I talk about, you know, these little acts of encouragement that could lead to bigger things. I don't know that girl. I don't know if I'll ever see her again. But you know who I did encourage? Even in that action, I encouraged the girl at Dutch because I see them a lot. Like I said, I go there a lot. So I saw her, and she was like, oh, that's so nice. And they know what I do, most of them. I've talked about it to them when I can. And so I, you know, encourage her. But then I also have my daughter with me, and she sees that. And hopefully she grows up knowing, you know, wow, my dad did that. I should be that kind of person too. So it's funny because my older daughter taught me to encourage people, and then hopefully I taught my middle daughter to encourage people. We're still working on the younger one, but we'll get there. We'll get to her eventually. So those things, and they lead to other things, but they start with the small ones. And then pray. Of course, you can encourage people with your prayers. It's really nice always to know, you know, hey, we prayed for you, and that can really surprise people. Oh, you did? Thank you. That's so nice. And that's one aspect of it. The other one is stop and pray for people right then. I don't know if you guys do that, but it's not something, remember, I'm not quick on some things. That's one that I'm not always quick to do, but I'm trying to get better at it. When somebody shares something that's going on, to say, let's pray for that right now. And taking that moment and genuinely encouraging them and praying with them at that moment for that thing. And they're both valuable. Make sure you know that. Like, it's great to say, I will pray for you and mean it and do it. It's also great to grab them right then and pray for them. And doing both of those things and encouraging them in that way. And it doesn't cost much to pray for people. A little bit of time. Now, finally, the presents. Not Christmas presents. But being there. Ecclesiastes 4:12. The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. That verse really sums up what our Christian lives should be as we live together, right? As we stack hands, life on life, dwell in community, and we are there and we are available for each other. That's the presence. You know, Barnabas was in this for the long haul. He was willing to be there. He was there, it looked like I said, 3 years. He spent time with them building that church. He invested in Paul years, helping this young guy develop his gifts and his abilities. And together they then went out and began the missionary movement, you know, was through those two. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you don't know what to say. You know somebody is hurting, and you want to encourage them, but you don't know how to or what you need to say to them. And sometimes you can say, you know, pray with them. Sometimes it's a note. Sometimes it is, you know, just giving them a hug. For me, one of the most impactful moments of somebody practicing that just present, being there for me, is one of my best friends, Brian. And Brian didn't live that far away from me. And when I was going through chemo, so I'd be sick, not able to do anything, throwing up a lot. And Brian would just come over and sit in the basement and play video games with me and not talk to me. Where a lot of other people, they'd come and check in on me, but they're wanting to like talk and talk. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't need somebody to pray with me. I didn't need somebody to talk with me. But just being there for people sometimes is enough. Just physically being there and sitting quietly. And the thing is that relationship that Brian and I had started with Brian and I arguing about God and the Bible, because he wasn't a believer. And then my youth pastor at the time led him to the Lord. And then we both were growing together as brothers in the faith. And we had gotten to this point where we didn't need to teach each other, just present. Being there with me was enough. Sometimes that's all it takes from us. You know, we practice encouraging people just by being there. Now, this is a practical day. So I want you to leave today with things that you can do, ways that you can live a lifestyle and be a Barnabas. So if you're here today, I have the ushers are going to hand out some postcards. And Deb in the office did a wonderful job making these little postcards. And they're already stamped, so that's taken care of. And what I want you to do, there's actually three kinds. And so one's a little more manly, one's a little more flowery, and one's a little more bee-oriented, for those of you into bees. But they're going to pass out. I want everybody to take one. We have enough for everybody. So you're going to take one. If you don't like the one you get, you know, trade with somebody else. And I want you to write a word of encouragement to somebody. And it might be somebody that, you know, you just haven't seen them in a long time. Maybe you want to write one to somebody that you haven't seen here at church for a while. And write a note to them just saying, hey, you know, coffee hour started up. You want to meet there for coffee and we can before the service starts. Maybe you're going to do that. Maybe you know somebody that's going through a hard time. Maybe you want to sit on it for just a little bit and pray about who God would have you write a word of encouragement to. But I want all of this is your homework. You guys know you got one more assignment, even though you're done. You got one more assignment. And the rest of you aren't used to homework. This is your assignment. That means you have to do it. Right, Jaron? Yeah, it's good to do homework. So we got to do our homework. And this is your homework. You're going to take this, and I want you to fill it out, and I want you to encourage people. And like I said, maybe it's inviting them here. Maybe it's just saying, you know, I thought of you today during our church service and want to know that, you know, I'm praying for you and I care about you. Whatever it needs to be, just make it, do that. Not throw. Do that, though. Write it out. Barnabas is the son of encouragement. Go ahead. They're going to keep passing those out. But he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith, and he was full of the Spirit. And because of his faith and being filled with the Spirit, he encouraged people. And that lesson for us, if we are full of faith and we are full of the Spirit, we should be encouragers as well. Even if, you know, some of you have the gift, but all of us can be doing that work of encouragement, of a kind word and helping each other grow in our walks with God. He took risks on people, Barnabas did. Like Paul and then later John Mark. John Mark like kind of messed up and left partway through one of their journeys. But then he wanted to give him another chance. And he gave the guy another chance. And then later it shows us that Paul even says, you know, that John Mark is I'm looking forward, he's useful. You know, so like the change in this young guy gets noticed later. But he takes risks on people. So I encourage you to do that. Take risks on people that you can disciple, that you can help develop like Barnabas did. He also went where he was needed. He went to the church in Antioch. He gave them good words. He lived life with them. He took time with them. He taught them to be followers of Christ. In fact, it says that is the first, you know, the first place they started being called Christians, because of the work that he did there. We're told of him in Acts, he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and that would be amazing to model our lives after. I want us to end today with this in mind. Lift each other up, help one another grow in our faith, be an encourager, be a Barnabas. That's the key word, just remember that. If somebody asks you throughout the week, what'd you talk about? Oh yeah, be a Barnabas, be an encourager, be a Barnabas. I'm going to pray now. As I pray, you guys should come back up to lead us in our final songs. So join me as we pray. Father God, we thank you. I want to thank you once again for this day. Thank you for our lives that you've given us. Thank you for all of these students that we can celebrate what they've achieved. Let us take to heart the example of Barnabas. Help us to seek ways out to encourage one another in the little ways and in the big ways. Help us to develop those around us. Encouraging them in the growth of their faith. In Jesus' name, amen.